Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Like them on Facebook at facebook.com/Comic Syndicate. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. I'm here with my boy,
Adam Garza.
I'm Josias Arabalo. You guys can find us on Twitter at...
Find me at Ma'am the Beaner.
And I am at the number four, the villain. How you doing today, man?
Doing great, bro. Nice Monday.
Nice Monday, yeah. I hate nice Mondays. Day. Cool. Always fucking case of the fucking Mondays, man.
How was your weekend, bro?
I dog sat and a slash apartment sat for my sister. Good weekend. Got no fucking sleep. Apparently, he's a cock blocker for sleep.
Damn.
And he was jumping on the bed, like, sleeping with me, and I had to take him for a walk, like, at 3 o'clock.
Fucking
I
NyQuil. Got back.
Just
fucking
vodka shots.
Vodka shots.
But, yeah, dude, so fucking, he was just, again, cock blocker for sleep. God, I took him for a walk, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, dude, and just, yeah.
Dude, put him in a room. Close the fucking door.
I should have, but I'm actually a good uncle, dude. I'm a decent uncle, I guess, man. Okay. How was your weekend, dude?
It was busy. It was good.
Cool.
Played a lot of Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Playing that a lot.
How'd you do in Magic? You went Friday, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, me and Val went, nice. And Val took first. I didn't scrub out, I didn't make top 8, so.
Oh, man, you're dropping the ball, homie.
It was because of that fucking earthquake, bro.
Yes.
It psyched me out, bro, the whole
you
night.
You were there, huh?
Yeah, everybody's shaking, we're like, what the fuck?
I was walking the fucking dog when fucking the first one hit.
Jesus.
And I got back to my sister's and everyone, all the neighbors are outside fucking just like, did you feel it?
Yeah, dude, the guy's all, get out of the building. We're like, fuck, no, these are expensive cars.
No shit, right? No, you're kidding. And nobody left?
Oh, we did. We just grabbed their shit.
Nice, dude. All right, man, let's get it going. We got a lot to go through, man. All right, we're just going to go over our Twitter loves as normal. The first one's going to be from at Lupe1219. Loops. Orozco, at Man the Beaner, why would you think I'm knowledgeable in comics? I even yelled no when you guys said my name, LOL. I guess it was about getting a girl on the show.
Oh, yes, talk. Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. And then she comes back at another one with this, I didn't hashtag motorboat him, I just hashtag fucked him. At Man the Beaner, the things you say, LOL. At Comic Syndicate, at For the Villain.
Jesus.
Next one's going to be actually from our guest we're going to have later on, second half of the show, Mike Lapine. He's like, I just some feedback. I like the colored avatar on the podcast app better than the pencil work. And then he hits us up.
Yeah, I mean, I like the pencil. Pencil's awesome.
I love pencil.
We just got to get some
color.
We
need to get it colored, yeah. So if you guys, artists out there, I can get you a copy of the one that's up that is black and white. If you guys can ink that for us, fuck, that'd be fucking dope. So yeah, totally appreciate that, Mike. The honesty is always great, dude. And then he's like, fell off at 12:30 listening to at Comic Sneak at 1, so I had to finish this morning. Great show, guys. Check them out. They're different and funny.
Okay.
So thanks, Mike. We totally appreciate
thanks,
it.
Mike.
We love shooting the shit to our Google chat people, Lynn, Lupe. We have a lot of people in and out all the time.
Fuck,
but consistently
those four.
Mike.
Four.
Yeah. So thanks, guys. We love you guys. This one's going to be, speaking of one of them, at 5 in a Shoe, Nez. She's like at Comic Syndicate 1, at Mem the Beaner, at 4 the Villain. I'm all for being vocal, but hashtag cardinal rule, I never say a name unless it's God's. You can say it his.
You know what? That's a safe play. Because what if you scream the wrong name?
This is very true.
And then he just pulls out and walks away.
And I think I've done that before, too.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Lots of drunken times. Say it happens sometimes.
Oh, man.
At Comic Syndicate, one at Mem the Beaner at For the Villain. Yes, Mem, I took notes. I'm going to send them to you because girls want those things, too.
Okay.
Like, all right, which is cool, you know. All right. At For the Villain, at Mem the Beaner at Comic Syndicate. Comics gonna go wonderful, fucking tongue tied. And if it's not dirty enough for you, they can always throw in a donkey or two or ducks.
That's pretty accurate.
Good response, yeah.
That's pretty accurate.
The next one's gonna be from our boy at Rideshare13, Albert Alvarado. He says, never have I laughed so hard upon hearing the question, what kind of chips? At Comic Syndicate 1, and then he tweets out our thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com website. And then he's like, did I hear right? At Mem the Beaner role plays as Adam and Eve and fucks animals to animal sounds. He had me rolling, dude.
Oh, yeah, man, that was a good one.
Yeah, dude.
I saw that right now.
I thought that was
fucking
great.
Albert.
So thank you, dude. And then this one was kind of cool, dude. He hit us up. He's like, at Comic Syndicate 1, I like that you guys played the X trailer, but especially like that you still talked while it played. And I wanted to ask our listeners, like, how they felt about this, because granted, we're playing the trailer for them, but we're watching it and we're talking over it. I was thinking maybe we should have said that.
I thought we were supposed to do that.
Well, yeah, I thought it went well.
I thought it went well. So, we didn't talk too loud. I wish we had a little bit loud. Maybe even out the voices, but
yeah. No, I don't know. I think it came out good. And actually, he's like, he got back to me. I'm like, how was it? You know, I think that, you know, how'd you feel about it? He said it was really good, that he liked it. And then Lupe jumped on board too, saying that we sounded like Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, the little robots?
Yeah.
That shit's funny.
So very cool. I'm like, okay, not bad. And this one's going to be from at Piggy Mouth. Cheryl, she's our Across the Seas chick. Listen to episode 34, Disney Duck Assault, from the Comic Syndicate at nerdbong.com or at nerdbong at Comic Syndicate 1. I say, you know, I responded back to her, you know, and she's like, I say thanks, although our sex facts have been really PG for us lately.
Shit, I don't know about last time.
No, the top 10 weren't so bad.
Okay.
Granted, PG,
I think,
for
us. Our response
Yeah, and then she gets back, she's like, we need sex facts. I say that it's a roulette with Mem the Beaner, because I have him choose we're going to go through next. And she says, that just makes it interesting. We need hashtag sex facts worthy of the XXX rating.
I don't know. That's pretty X.
next one's going to be from at Johnny underscore BITW at For the Villain. The new at Comic Syndicate 1 was funny as hell. I was laughing my ass off about the Disney incident. No offense.
Oh, man.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, I got shit for that. But it's okay. It's okay. She's a good sport.
Okay, because I felt bad, too. And I even apologized on the podcast. Jesus. I'm like, I'm so sorry. But we weren't clowning on you. Sorry.
it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. So thanks, Johnny. We totally appreciate it. I played that for Ray and one of my friends, and they were fucking rolling, dude.
It was good.
Yeah, so I thought it was hilarious. Thank you. Next one's going to be our boy, one of the nerd Nets boys. I'm sorry, Carl underscore Hendrix at For the Villain at Mem the Beaner at STV5454 hashtag fuck strollers hashtag fucking ducks.
Hey, those guys didn't come out with a show this week. I'm kind of pissed off.
I checked their site or Podomatic to see if they were up yet. I'm like, these motherfuckers are dropping the ball.
Okay. Granted that the I guess
Carl.
Carl went to go meet the parents.
Yeah, you saw that. Yeah, we were chatting today, dude, which is pretty cool. And just off of that fucking thread, we started just having fun shooting the shit with each other.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, the most racist shit on Twitter, we four of us had that conversation.
Yeah, I think we did some racial.
I think we pissed off every fucking race, probably.
But those coworkers, those Indians.
Oh, I know, right, dude. So we love these guys. Go follow them. They have the Nerd Nest podcast. They're on iTunes, I believe, but definitely Podomatic.
Very funny guys.
Yeah. So thanks, guys. Love it, Carl. Thanks, man. Next one's gonna be from at B underscore Kraken. He's B Kraken. I believe it's Brian. This is pretty cool. At For the Villain, just finished reading my winnings. Time to share. Thanks for the great reads. Keep killing it on the podcast. Hashtag comics rule. Now, this is the dude who won our grab box.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was like 15 or 16 comics.
Did he get it?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I sent it to him. I don't even know. Maybe 3 weeks ago, close to a month. Shit. But I totally appreciate that, Brian. Yeah, dude, I'm glad you liked them, dude. There was a pretty decent lot. But yeah, dude, thanks. Thank you for the shout out and the words, man. So definitely share those, man. Next one's going to be from our boy at TK Comedy 2013, Travis Knight at For the Film.
Travis. Boom,
at Comic Syndicate 1 at Mem the Beaner. Yeah, you guys don't want girls smelling like
the quote unquote
ducks.
Nobody wants the ducks.
He sent that to D, and I was fucking rolling. Thanks a lot, Travis. You guys can find Travis and his Travis Fear on Podomatic. iTunes,
Stitcher. Yeah.
So yeah, look out for these podcasts, guys. They're great. Next one's going to be at NJC underscore 85. He's a Dark Knight on Twitter. And he just tweeted a 1962 Incredible Hulk number 1. That was just pretty fucking sick. And we start chatting and he's like, yeah, check out this one too. And he sends a picture of Batman number 1 from 1940, dude.
Damn.
And I'm like, dude, that is fucking gorgeous that you have that. I'm like, you know.
He has the actual comic?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was lovely, dude. And I'm like, dude, you know, that's fucking dope. How long have you had it? And he said that his uncle was a big comic book guy. And he had given it to him before he passed away.
Yeah, so nice.
I'm like, excellent way. Well, yeah. Condolences for sure. But I'm like, no, that's an excellent way to remember your uncle. So way cool, man. And then the last ones are going to be, we got hit up by a lot of Kickstarter campaigns, dude. So I'm not going to go through all of them, but you and I started reading, actually, a few of us, and we have Lupe, who's helping us out, too, is Saint Chaos, Volume 1. It's a tale of horror, crime, and mystery, and it's going to be by Noah Dorsey. You can, guys can find him at the Noah Dorsey, D-O-R-S-E-Y, on Twitter. Way cool cat. Very,
very dark. I was reading it in... I was creeped out. I mean, it was real creepy. It was good. It was good. It was a good creepy.
That's good.
Very dark. Cool. I mean, I...
I was scrolling through it, and just your synopsis of it, I'm like, fuck. And even Lupe, you know, we were chatting about it, and she's like, I'm totally down to read this.
She read it all, and then she wrote a
little review, so we can toss... Page. Yeah, Noah, we can toss that out on our Podbean. .com website, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com.
Yeah, we could put that on Podbean.
Yeah, dude, and he's got a Kickstarter campaign, guys, so definitely find him. I've been trying to tweet out some Kickstarter backup
for
him.
If you guys want to be freaked out, like a real nice, scary story.
Good plug.
This book is very dark, very scary. I mean, I even turned on the lights.
Yeah.
No shit, don't touch it. I mean, it was just... Creepy. It gives you that, you know... It puts the mood.
That's good.
Then. And it's like, I gotta jump on board. There's a lot, like little short, like stories, like with the roses, and you leave them at a park, the ghost will come and strangle you.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes, yeah. It's like, fuck, that's kind of freaking starting off the bat, right?
Very cool. Very, very good.
All right, and next one's gonna be from at Spicy Toilet. He's working. He's got another Kickstarter as well. The name of his book is gonna be Book of Suns. So yeah, guys, if you guys see that, jump on the Kickstarters. Just check out what we're up to and. Right, what our listeners are up to, so way cool. Next one, guys, is going to be to the nerdbong.com boys. You guys can find us with them. Check out the site for content on movies, TV, comics, cosplay, and gaming. Jump on the podcast section where you can listen to the Comic Syndicate. You guys can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, the comicsyndicate.podbean.com. Yeah. And then you guys can find the Baked English Podcast, Three Bots, One Pod, Untitled Movie Podcast, The Bat Chat, and Splendiferous Stories for Slumber. And that's all I got for Twitter love, dude. So you got anything you want to add, homie?
No, I think that's it, man.
Okay, well, let me play something real quick, dude. Actually, last Twitter shout-out, I guess, would be this morning I received an email from the Legal Geeks, but this is actually Kristen Needlepack.
Okay.
And she is actually the CEO and founder.
CEO.
And founder of the Geeky Awards, dude. She looks fucking hot, first of all.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. And then I shot the link never on Facebook, only for the podcast, you know. And I had to shoot you and Ray that link.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was dope. For sure. I'll play you guys a brief snippet, but I thought it was way cool. If you guys want to listen to the whole thing, let me know. I'll shoot you the link. But here you guys go. Hopefully you guys can hear it.
Like I said, it's one of the awesome web series that's in our show this year. And so, yeah, you guys just won two tickets to the show.
Not us.
Wanted to call out a few more people, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
We really try to do a lot of promotion on the show where we ask people to share their pages and we say, you know, we do what we can by putting your name out there, but you have the accountability to actually share your work and also take participation in getting it seen. And so there's two people that I wanted to call out, two of our entrants, that have probably tweeted about 5 to 10 times a day about the Geeky Awards and about their entry, and that is the Legal Geeks and Comic Syndicate Podcast. Sweet. And I just wanted to give them a shout out and say congratulations, you guys, on your awesome marketing campaign.
Cool.
You have the two top most viewed entry pages on our website.
Hell yeah.
Sweet.
So congrats.
Thank you, Christine.
You know,
you're a sweetheart.
I just think that's super cool, and I just wanted to give them a shout out. I didn't realize that
she didn't have to do that, dude.
So our marketing strategy is Joe tweeting the shit out of it, raping us to
raping the
everyone. I come home and my ass hurts.
Oh, man. I know. You gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Good, man.
I'm such a Twitter whore, dude, but it's all good. All right, man, let's get to some fucking articles, man. Let's start off with some what the fuck news, dude. I came across this one today, dude, at work, and this one's going to be off of the Huffington Post. I'll show you this one. Masseuse allegedly stole Rolex by hiding it in vagina.
Nice.
Very cool. Posted 331 today.
I guess if I had a vagina, I would hide watches, money,
yes.
Drugs, kids.
Yes. I play softball, so a new bat? Yes, hide that from me. A Las Vegas woman hired to give a man a $300 massage allegedly snatched his $35,000 Rolex and concealed it in her vagina. Feel free to stop me anytime.
Do you want the watch back? I mean, it's Rolex. Well, of course, it's a Rolex. You know, it's all slimy. You don't know if it's the docks. You know, you don't know what you're putting back on.
This is very true. For the sake that it's a $35,000 watch, yeah.
Oh my God. Well, so like, just spread it in there. There's like, you know, okay.
Yeah.
And then how did he?
Find out. Christina Lefebvre, 25, is accused of stealing a watch belonging to Kenneth Harold on January 15th while giving him a massage at his room in the Wynn Las Vegas Hotel. The case came to light now because Lefebvre's attorney, Chris Rasmussen, believes the watch was found via an illegal search and seizure and should not be admitted in court.
That's interesting.
Illegal, though.
So homeboy went back and peeled it out of her.
Well, okay, that's what I was thinking too initially. Okay. Dude. Harold, 66, told police he met the suspect at a hotel bar. A short time later, she volunteered that she did private, quote-unquote, private massages for $300 a pop, according to the arrest report. Harold paid her, and then both went to his room for the massage. At one point, Lefebvre allegedly suggested Harold remove his watch so that she can massage his arm.
Mistake. Why the fuck would... I mean, massage, really? Mm-hmm. You know something else is going on there.
Well, you're totally right on that. Okay. Although Harold tried to keep the Rolex in sight, he told detectives that he noticed it was missing about 5 to 7 minutes later. Harold then questioned Lefebvre, who denied taking the watch. The alleged victim then called the hotel security, who quickly came to the room. Now, this is what homegirl looks like.
All right, she's not bad looking.
Nah, you're not bad looking, dude. I'll fucking take anything from her vagina, probably. But, you know,
she tells him to take off the watch, and then he says, where is it? And she says, what watch?
Exactly.
What fucking
She's
idiot.
A fucking magician. I can make it disappear, Lefebvre.
My vagina makes things vanish.
My vagina, yes. Lefebvre became combative with the security staff and tried to push her out of his room. She was placed in handcuffs and then taken off to the Wynn security office. When Las Vegas police arrived, they informed Lefebvre of her rights, and she waived her right to speak to an attorney before questioning.
Idiot.
The suspect then denied taking Harold's watch. She told detectives that he became upset because she would not perform oral sex without a condom.
Well, I mean, without a condom, man. Jesus.
Now...
Okay. So he got pissed off because she would not give him head.
Yes.
Without a condom.
Yes.
And this guy got to be safe. You know, there's prostitutes. You don't know where the fuck their mouth or vagina is in.
Exactly. Officials got a search warrant and took Lefebvre to a local hospital. An x-ray revealed that the watch was indeed in her vagina.
So they handed a search warrant. We're going to have to check your asshole and your vagina.
Yes. You know,
bend over and spread.
And if she's that hot, fuck yeah, sign me up for that job, dude.
Dude, if a Rolex fits in there.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Okay, we've heard a lot of stories too, though, where a lot of women fucking
conceal everything.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This is fucking.
Yeah, I there was one of our episodes where we spoke. I forgot what the girl put in her vagina, but it was like a fucking
ball or something, like a toy or something,
something like that.
Toy truck.
Yeah, I don't recall. But anyways, let's go with let's go with the fuck, I guess.
Okay.
Do you want a substance abuse counselor who drove 2 miles with dying man on windshield?
Ooh,
or
yes.
Triple amputee nearly run over while working as security guard?
Oh, I'm a security guard. Let's go with the lady didn't see the fucking dying man on her car.
This is a short one, dude. Of course, it posted 326. This is Los Angeles. A substance abuse counselor who drove 2 miles through a Los Angeles suburb with dying man on her windshield faces... She could have just like tossed on the fucking wipers.
The wipers, dude. At least break. Did she never break?
Well, she broke all over his. Well, we'll figure it out, dude. With dying man on her windshield, faces maximum prison term of 45 years. Wow, to life at her sentencing scheduled for Wednesday. Now, a jury last month found Cheryl L. Lynn Wilkins, 52, guilty of second degree. Of course, it was going to be a Lynn.
Second degree murder. She's not Asian, by the way.
She's an old beat up broad, though. Guilty of second degree murder, drunken driving, and hit and run for the incident that killed 31-year-old Philip Moreno in Torrance in November 2012.
What a bitch.
Now, Wilkins also has two previous felony convictions that are considered serious and make her eligible for California's three strikes law. Wow.
Damn.
Gangster bitch. And she's a white broad. Prosecutors at the time of the trial said Wilkins' blood alcohol level was nearly twice the legal limit, and that she did, and what she did, I'm sorry, and that what she did to Moreno struck at human dignity.
So, I mean, look, you could just picture the guy, like, maybe she dropped something, and he's like, hey, you forgot your purse, ma'am, and she just fucking runs him over, yeah. Right? And the poor guy is not lucky enough to go under the car. Oh, he's stuck on the car for fucking 3 miles.
Fucking 2 miles, and...
Fucking drive-thru, getting some hamburgers, like, homie's dying in the fucking hood, dude.
Like, she's a straight-up gangster. Now, she was driving, yes, like, if it were me, I would never do it, but, like...
Get a goddamn
hit the brakes, fucking. Maybe he goes, I don't know, something like that. God. Or sharp turn, maybe. I don't know. You're now, Jesus. We do not tolerate someone who does not pull over when they see someone on their windshield, Deputy District Attorney John Harlan said after the verdict. Okay. That was kind of stupid. Right. Wilkins, who was an addict before she became a drug and alcohol counselor. Wow.
This chick's a total fucking loser.
She was on drugs, but she's a drug and alcohol counselor now.
Oh, okay, that's great. Right. Nice.
She said she had been drinking that night but wasn't drunk. She said that she had been self-medicating while waiting for knee replacement surgery and had consumed 3 servings of vodka and a can of Budweiser beer and Clamato before starting to drive.
And she was clocked out 2 times over the fucking...
Yes. And wow. She testified that she never saw Moreno coming and it was as if he fell out of the sky.
Idiot. So she didn't notice him fucking clawing at the fucking windshield, begging her to stop.
Hey, sometimes when they fall out of the sky at him, you know, it's just hard to miss. I don't know. All right, man, we got sex facts. We can hit them real quick, dude. If you want to go through, you can choose the next topic, dude. 12 sex thoughts. I'm sorry. 12 sex thoughts of girls that guys didn't know. What everyone should know about the female orgasm and hooking up.
Okay.
What can Kegels really do? People who watch more porn have more sex, Circle finds. Okay. 25 facts about sex that you didn't know. Those are pretty quick.
That's a good one.
11 ways mainstream porn misleads women about sex. Watching porn is surprisingly not just for lonely virgins. And then 5 things wrecking your sex life.
Let's do the 5 things wrecking.
Ooh, interesting.
Not that my sex life's wrecked.
Okay, nice, dude. And I think I got this from mydailymoment.com. Is your hot and steamy love life feeling more lukewarm than these days? You might think you're doing everything right, but there are sneaky sensual snaps, okay, that could be destroying your sex life. While most of them are easily fixed or avoided, you need to identify where you went or going wrong, okay? These 5 things could be ruining your sex life. So sit down, read up, and get ready to light that fire once again. All right.
Okay, let's see what we got here.
We got healthy sex lives. I'm pretty sure I'm confident in us.
Yes, yes.
Number 1, getting grossed out. Let's face it, the human body doesn't always produce... The human body doesn't always produce the sexiest smells, areas of hair, or secretions. If you flinch at the hint of a little BO down there... Huh.
Girls, wipe your ass.
Yes.
Right, guys, wipe your ass.
Oh, dude, I never told you the story. There was a girl I was with one time, dude. I was going to go down on her. I was kissing her stomach. I think I told the nerdness, boys.
Okay.
I was going to go down on her, and I got to her belly button, and it's terrible.
The docks.
Dude. The docks, motherfucker. Holy shit.
Oh, total snap.
Docks, dude. And I'm like, oh my gosh, just terrible. So I had to go back up, like, hey, that's not going to happen. Wow. But terrible. And she was like the hottest. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know how
showers,
it happened.
Man.
Yeah. So, Adam, I agree. If you flinch at the hill, okay, down there. An untrimmed bikini line or thought of bodily fluids touching you anywhere, you could be turning your partner off. Or even worse, offending him or her.
Showers.
Yes.
I like taking a shower.
And groom.
Grooming, yes.
Manscaped yes. For the men and women, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a bonus. I mean, I don't mind bush, though.
I like shave.
Fully?
Yeah.
I like the...
Well, I mean, a little patch.
The landing strip, too, I like.
The fucking... The mohawk?
I like the landing strip. Yeah, the landing strip I like. Okay. There are a few ways you can overcome the ick factor. Only have intercourse in or right after a shower.
See? Yeah.
Turn the lights off to avoid looking at things you don't like. Oh, and keep plenty of towels or tissues. Yeah, on hand.
Let's have sex in this cave.
Having this cave. Remember, the sex is messy, so you should work on embracing the fact that you're going to get sweaty, squished, and crumpled, and move on. So
okay,
yeah, not bad. Number 2, being afraid to experiment. Instead of laughing in his or her face the next time your partner suggests a sexy cowgirl getup or edible underwear, give it a try. The makeup or the dressing up? Yes, the edible underwear. I can't say I've tried. You tried it before?
No.
Have you guys used toys, or have you used toys with your ladies before?
No toys.
Okay.
No toys. But, yeah.
Okay,
cool. So no laughter. Yeah, there should be no laughter.
No, not in the bedroom.
Especially when the guy takes his pants off and the girl starts laughing.
Yes.
That's a very turn off. Never, that's not happened to me before, but I'm just saying.
Hashtag stop laughing. during sex.
Hashtag stop laughing at my dick.
Oh, shit. All right, dude. And rejecting him or her could kill the mood unless it's something you morally object to or might cause you harm. Go for it. Who knows? You might even discover that, quote-unquote, Nurse Betty is your thing. All right. I like number three, not knowing what you want. If you don't know what buttons to push or what gets you in the mood, it can be nearly impossible for your partner to do so. If you have a hard time reaching orgasm, spend some time solo, exploring yourself, and experimenting with toys. Yeah, totally. Sure. With toys and learn what works for you. Pay attention during sex and take a mental note of what moves or positions you like best and what you dislike. Plan a lesson for your dude and see if he does his homework.
Or feelings, too, you know, especially like, you know, if you're rubbing down there, you know, you feel things, you know, you know.
Yeah, touche.
Even ask questions. Like, hey, does this feel good?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Want me to go harder? You Communication. Want to go faster?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree.
Should I bring out the OJ?
I know, right? Number four, being embarrassed. What woman hasn't almost screamed in horror when looking at her thighs in the mirror? Or had an absolute mental breakdown when passing gas in front of someone? When these things happen in the bedroom, it can feel like the end of the world. It's important to realize that once men turn on their sex brain, very little can turn it off.
Okay, so have you ever passed gas either getting ready or performing or...
Yeah.
You passed gas? Like, fucking...
They were silent, so it wasn't like that. Although she's like, did you just fart? No. Totally farted.
What fucking died?
But I can't say it was, but I can't say it was like a full on, you know, but it was, and it was.
I think I've done it.
All right. See, it happens. But then again,
it's a turn off.
Yeah, that is a turn off.
And then I've done it.
When women queef when you're fucking them, like, it's got to be embarrassing for them too.
Right.
But. So I get it. Like, sometimes it'll be like, don't worry about it, babe. You know, it's cool. But, like, sometimes when they're like,
I think queaving and having someone fart is different.
Totally.
Like, she can't control.
Exactly.
You can control your ass. Stop eating fucking Taco Bell before you fuck.
All right, dude. I agree, dude. Number five, falling into a boring routine. Do you have a standing calendar appointment for getting naughty? While it's more important to make time in your schedule for sex, arranging a set day and time for it is one of the quickest ways to squash your sex life. Okay?
I agree.
Yeah, right?
So they're saying it's wrong to schedule.
Yes.
Yes, it is. You know, scheduling it just feels like it's a
forced kind of
like a task.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be a fucking task.
No, it should be, you know, because you're your woman
on the spot and just spot. Like it's like, you know, we're watching a movie and it's like head would be great right now, or I just totally want to go down on you right now, you know. So that would be cool, dude. So I agree.
Nothing crazy, dude.
So that's about it, dude. Fucking sex talk. Do you guys know what you want to add, homie? Do you have any comic news?
Comic news. Did you see the fucking Ninja Turtle fucking Megan Fox?
What did you think?
Non-red hair?
Michael Bay, I don't trust.
When I first saw the goddamn building collapse. You know,
you knew.
I'm like, it was Michael really? Bay. The turtles, they look
like aliens, dude. And
I don't know. Shredder's what is it called? His headgear looked fucking sick.
That looked cool. I don't think I'm on board.
But they're not aliens, though. They're mutants.
They're not, but they're going to change their origin history a bit. I believe they're going to be more, like, engineered as opposed to, like, the mutagen ooze, I'm sorry.
The ooze.
The ooze, and which is pretty cool. Like, it's based, like, on Daredevil, like, you know.
Okay.
Eastman Laird got the idea.
Four turtles were fucking walking around a laboratory, and they just built.
That's what the new origin's going to be. So, not on board. Michael Bay, I don't trust you, and you're going to.
What about making Fox as April?
I would fuck her and fuck her brains out, but she can't act for shit, dude. I don't think she's good enough or strong enough. They need to have stronger characters in there too, though, dude. I mean, hopefully Shredder is
Yeah, there's some low budget fucking
Seems like
the
it,
low
right?
of the low.
Low of the low, yeah. So I'm not on board, dude.
Okay. I'll probably still watch it.
Okay. Yeah, eventually I will, but I'm not going to go to the theater and watch it. But go for it, man. Well, you guys are Turtles fans related, right?
Yeah, she loves Turtles.
Okay, that's a good one.
Anything else? Let me think. I don't think I have anything else on me right now.
I don't think I do either. There's going to be a new Spider-Man dropping, I guess. We'll...
Okay, we'll talk about when it comes out.
Cool, man. All right.
All right, cool. We're going to go, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with
Comic Talk.
Yeah. Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Saturday afternoon. And You're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Ming Chen.
Mike Zapsik.
And we're from a podcast called I Sell Comics and also a little TV show called
Comic Book Men.
And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Hey, this is Omar Spahi.
And this is Seek Donnelly.
From Awesome Comics.
And you're listening to Comic Syndicate.
Hey, this is Courtney Cruz from Devil's Playground Burlesque, and you are listening to Comic Syndicate.
Hey, what's up? This is Sean Allen. You're listening to Mem and For the Villain at Comic Syndicate. I messed that up, but Comic Syndicate. You got it.
Okay, we're back, and we have a special guest.
Yes, we have Mike Lapine. He's at Lapine Is Me on Twitter. Great to having you on the show. We've been shooting the shit with you and Google chatting with you for fucking a while, Mike. Dude, how are you doing today, homie?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the time.
Ah, no worries, man. We want to work more things like this with our listeners anyways. So if somebody wants to, you know, get their voice out there, and we know you were all about Ghost Rider, so we thought it'd be a great chance to have you on.
Yeah, dude. More people on to talk. I'm tired of talking.
Yeah, no shit, right, dude? Yeah. All right, man. So we can start it up, dude. Mike, what did you pick up this week, man?
This week I got... Did I read Ghost Rider? Obviously,
nice.
Silver Surfer. I picked up Silver Surfer number one, and I read Deadly Class number three because we wanted to talk about it on the show.
I loved it. Go for it.
I was reading it before, but I couldn't afford it, so I had to drop it.
Yeah, I feel you.
But I got a chance to read it. So
awesome. Yeah, loved it, dude. Okay, Adam, you got a lot of reading done yourself.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to start reading more arcs.
Okay.
Because I forget everything that I fucking read. So I read Green Arrow from 17 to 25, I think.
Nice. Trade paperback or something?
No, they were a dollar. They were 99 cents on Comixology.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Hey,
so
that works, dude.
I picked those up. I also read Ghost Rider, Guardians.
Yeah, so good, dude.
Superior. I did not finish Silver Surfer. I don't know. It wasn't for me. I think that's all.
Cool. Well, we all read Ghost Rider. Mike, feel free to jump on in, man. Go over the artist, the writer, what you dug on it, and just synopsis breakdown as thorough as you want to be, man.
The whole show, buddy.
The whole show is all you.
The whole show is on in the next hour and a half. Get ready. In-depth Ghost Rider.
Nice.
I liked it. Ghost Rider, all new Ghost Rider. Don't forget.
Yes, on you. Good call.
It was great.
Yeah. So Felipe Smith, writer. I really don't know much about him. I did a fucking Google search, of course.
Yeah.
Saw that he wrote some manga, maybe.
Okay. This is very interesting that you mentioned that too, because I'm like, I was telling him I dig the art. I just don't. I can't say I've seen Homeboy draw anything before. So interesting. So he's a manga cat.
It kind of does look like a little manga, the drawings too.
Style, artist. All right, go for it, Mike.
In the art, Tradmore. He's done nothing I've read, but there was something, Luther Strode, Strange Tale of Luther Strode, or something along those lines. But yeah, he's got definitely has that anime manga feel to his drawings. But I think it fits this really well.
It really does, though, yeah.
I do like how they have a Mexican now in the as Ghost Rider.
It's kind of cool, dude. The story's really interesting.
Fucking looks like my neighborhood I used to live in.
It's Los Angeles. It kind of seems like it, right?
The gunshots.
With the gunshots, yeah, man. But Mike. Okay, give us the synopsis, man. It is a new youngster now, the new Ghost Rider. So
yeah, he's Latin, like you said. I was excited that. It was set here because I know you guys live out that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was anxious to see what you guys thought about the setting and the characters and how, you know, they reacted to things that happened to them, you know, because, you know, you guys have a different feel for this culture.
Yeah, that's pretty much our backyard, man. That's trip out. But that's how we grew up, man. Fucking straight up gangsters. But go for it.
Cool. So anyways, Robbie Reyes, he's the new character, new Ghost Rider, and he likes to work on cars, setting up. This first issue is definitely set up, for sure. You know, you can see that they're setting it up, which is not a problem. It's a first issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to know what's going on, what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of the story, you know, he's working on the cars and he's getting paid. You find out that he has a little brother who is handicapped in some way. Mm-hmm. Don't really tell. We can't really tell. They don't really go into it.
Yep.
But you know, he comes in, protects his brother because these dudes are stealing his wheelchair. I mean, who the hell? Somebody's wheelchair.
Yeah, no joke, dude. Yeah, I'm like, these motherfuckers. And then the kid's like all jazzed about his comics. Like, that's he's more worried about his comics than the wheelchair, dude. Like, it's like, yeah, anyways, go ahead, man.
That was a cool touch with the comics. I'm glad you brought that up because I totally forgot about it. Even though I'm looking at the book right now.
Nice.
So, anyways, Robbie Reyes comes in. We're going to call him Robbie from now on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Comes in, punches these, you know, starts a fight with these dudes because they're picking on his brother.
And then he gets rocked because, well, they pull a gun on him, dude.
Of course they pull a gun on him.
Of course, dude, yeah.
They just pound this fool down, dude. They pound him pretty bad.
Yeah, he gets beat the shit. So
they make off with the wheelchair, and I love that interaction that they have, dude, where he tells him, like, his brother's, like, he's literally on Robbie's back because the wheelchair's gone. But just, like, he's like, you know, you're right there, bro? Yeah, I'm okay, Robbie. Good. Comics. You're so cool. You're my hero, Robbie. You showed them. And he's just like, he has teary eyes because he's like, yeah, I showed them. But like, it's his little brother. He adores him. And, you know, he just feels bad. Like he can't do more, I guess, to help him out. But just the interaction, dude. I love that brother play right there.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So, I mean, it's building his character to, you know, show that he cares for his brother so much, you know, and why the spirit of vengeance might want to come and say, all right, you've been wronged. Let's go screw some people over. Mm-hmm. So anyways, they're walking back home, and like you said, he's carrying them, showing his brotherly love and whatnot, and they're just showing the crime in the area to build more, you know, world building in here. So they get home, and they eat dinner. Like Adam said, they hear the gunshots. And he's like, don't go outside when you hear those firecrackers. Mm-hmm. And his brother does not go outside.
Right.
So I guess his brother goes to sleep. He decides he's going to go try to earn some fucking cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
With his car. You can't, I couldn't really tell in the panel when he first gets to the car. It kind of looked like he was on his cell phone the first time I read it.
Yeah.
I thought, so, you know, he's, hey girl, I thought he was talking to a chick. I'm going to pick you up.
I thought so too, right, dude? Yeah.
So, on the second time through, I saw that he was pulling down his hood. But,
wasn't it a chick? I thought it was.
I thought
he was going to go meet a girl, and he was stealing the car to go meet her.
Yeah, that's what I thought too on the first read through, because I thought he was on the cell phone, but then the second and third time, I really got into it.
Nice.
And you can see that he's pulling his hood down, and the girl's the car. He's talking, you know, hey girl, he's... the car's so hot, you know?
Yeah, exactly, dude.
That shit was funny. You think he would have a key, too. You know, you jump the fence.
Well, this was the hot rod he was working on, which is... it looks like a pretty sick car already, dude.
Oh, for sure.
But, yeah, so he's talking to this car, but, like, on the snippets, if you pay attention to, the mirror on the fucking car, like, you can see a reflection of something. And when he puts his helmet on in the car, like, just the reflection, you can see some sort
flames.
Of... yeah, flames, which is kind of cool. Yeah.
But that's a really great panel when he puts the helmet on.
Yeah, and, right.
You know, the Ghost Rider is like getting into the car or the helmet. You know, it's not really clear on where it is.
Mm.
So, anyways, he's stealing the car. Of course, we think it's going to pick up a girl unless you're smart and picked it up earlier than I did. But then you turn the page and he's getting ready to get in fucking street race.
Fucking too and, fast, too furious.
Big
over
time,
here.
Big time, yeah.
Paul Walker status.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah. There's that, too.
That's, I listened to a lot of podcasts this week, and a lot of people have been talking about Ghost Rider.
Cool.
Because, you know, everybody likes Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
I'm getting off track, though, so maybe we can talk about that later. Anyway, they get lined up for the car race. He pulls up in this hot rod, and he's like, "Where, you know, how are you going to pay?" He's like, "This car, bitch, I'm going to win," essentially, is what he's saying. You know, he's got that stance. The fucking lights in the background, you know, are just, like, shining. You really get into these panels. The artwork is really what sold this book
I agree, especially that car chase scene. I would have loved to see more car chase scenes, so that's why I'm curious to see where the other comics are going to go, because, I mean, the snippets, like you said, the lights and just them driving around, I dig it.
It works.
Oh, sure. So he gets in, I guess they take his little deal. You turn that page, you flip over the page, and you get that two-page spread, man. Mm. It's like, what am I looking at? It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just all the details that he put in there. So they lined up for the race, and I don't know. It's just it's really cool. The colors.
The colors, yeah, they did great too. Yeah.
You know, the neon of the cars, you know, I think they captured that culture really well, the car culture.
Yeah.
So this, like you were talking about, the cars, the car race scenes are just amazing. But even if after we turn that double spread, you'll see there's intersecting, like thin lines intersecting the bigger panels.
Yep.
You can look, I mean, he's even got, see, just so much detail in there too. And then the last one, it's like, you see the skull? I just noticed it this time through. I've looked four times already, but I just noticed the skull the first time. So anyways, you know, they're racing. All of a sudden, the cops are going to get intervene. And you get to that page where he's seeing his future when he gets busted by these cops.
Yeah,
you
know, dude.
It's like...
It's pretty cool.
He sees himself in handcuffs. He sees himself in prison. He's picturing his little brother, like, in the middle of the night, like, scared, freaked out, crying even, like, because he's going to have to go to an orphanage, I guess, because Robbie's taking care of him, and he's just freaking balls like, no, he needs to get away from these fucking cops, dude.
So,
Could call them, Mike.
Yeah, you know, the helicopter takes him out. I like, because, like, if you look at one of the helicopters, it doesn't say... police on it.
You know, I didn't catch that. That was interesting though, right? Yeah. I thought it was the cops right as soon as I saw it. But yeah, good call, Adam. All right, Mike, rock and roll, dude. I kind of like it. It's not really artsy, but the path he's taking as he's zigzagging through the streets, I'm like, it gives you an idea of like, okay, he's trying to outrun these fucking...
That was really cool.
You can't outrun a helicopter. That's the problem.
Shit, this that was heavy. But those panels you were talking about, Joe... The second time I read it through, I traced him with my fingers to see what he did.
Nice.
It's just it was a really interesting book. To me, I guess it was interactive. So anyway, he gets trapped in this fucking alley because he's just panicking, I guess, and screwed. So he gets out of the car, says, "All right, cops, chill out. I'm sorry. Just take me." And then they open fire on him.
I was crazy. Not expecting that.
And I read this on the because I got the digital.
Okay.
From the thing, and so when you swipe it, you see his eyes, and then you swipe it.
Oh, and then that giant panel, dude.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Very violent. I wasn't expecting it to go anywhere near like this. They shoot him the fuck up, dude.
Oh, and
go for it. Walk us through those panels, man.
I mean, he just gets blasted. So, you know, you kind of think right at that point, they're not normal cops.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
the cops have that. So he's dead immediately, of course. He's down on the ground, and these stormtrooper-type boots are walking by. And then they're just dousing the car with gasoline. Mm-hmm. I guess they want to get rid of that evidence. And then they get some kind of crazy drug out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we don't know what it is. We won't know what that is, probably, at least until the first arc's over.
Yep.
Or somewhere in the middle, you know, they'll start telling us what it is. So, you know, they douse the car with fire. With fire. They put in gasoline so they can start a fire, throw the match. They show a close-up of Robbie's face, and, you know, it's just stone dead, blood. And some reason they show this one military-type dude. He looks like he's showing a little bit of remorse. So, you know, that's probably something we might see in the future. He might be a helper, maybe, or...
Very true. And they look more like military cats than anything, dude.
Definitely, like some kind of private sector, security force, something like that. So the car's going up in flames, helicopter's pulling away, the G-men are leaving, and they show a couple of panels, car on fire, and then they show a spark flying off, and it kind of looks like a phoenix head, really, now that I'm looking at it. It hits Robbie's dead body and starts consuming his face. And then it gets down to like the flesh right before his skull, and you can see like a sigil in his nose.
Right? I noticed that too, dude.
So that, you know, probably where the Ghost Rider embedded himself, if that's what a Ghost Rider does.
Interesting, yeah.
Whatever, the older Ghost Riders, I think one was on a gas cap of his motorcycle. Something like that. You turn the page and it's just like full-on transformation into this new Ghost Rider. It's like flames, you know, the skull, and it's just shooting out of that hole that's in the front of his helmet.
Yeah, dude.
It's now on his head. It's like there's a lot of crazy fire movement on this page.
Yeah, dude. I even like the cover, dude. Which cover did you get, Mike?
Me, I just got the standard cover.
Yeah, same here. Adam likes the, what, Scotty Young variant?
Scotty Young one.
Yeah. I wanted to check out the Felipe Smith cover, but I was in and out of the shop that day really quickly. So, plus, I probably would have gotten in trouble if I would have spent more than cover price for a book.
Aha, there you go, man. Very true. All right, man. Totally appreciate that, dude. I dug it. Would you stay on board, Mike?
Me? Yeah, I'm going to pick up issue two. The story, you know, was a little loose, and it was a little, it was a lot set up, but I didn't expect anything to be resolved in issue one.
Exactly.
So the story, you know, it was more than enough for me to come back on the story, but the art, that, you know, I'll be back for the art as long as he's penciling this book, for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious, man. Okay, totally back you up on that. If the story can, like I said, can tighten up, I will probably be about it. I'm probably going to give it a few more issues because my pull is fucking sucks dick, dude. So, all right, cool. You're on board, Adam?
I'll probably go for a couple more.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. All right, Mike, you go next, Adam, I guess?
Oh, wait. We'll do it quickly. The Superior Spider-Man, number 30. You know, this book...
I'm loving the fuck out of fucking
this
shit.
I'm a little torn. I don't understand... I'm a little hurt.
Octavius. Peter Parker.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm but sad. Real quickly, you know, Dan Slott, and we got Gage is the artist.
Crystal's Gage is helping Dan Slott with the story on this one. The artist is going to be, which he's doing a great job. His name's going to be Giuseppe Camuncoli.
Yeah, it's weird ass.
And I'm digging his fucking art, though, dude.
So this is the last.
We got two more.
Two more.
Well, actually, 31's going to be the last one.
31, yes. Yeah. We have one more. So in the story, we got Spider-Man 2099 and Otto fighting some robots that have been taken over by the Green Goblin. So Green Goblin is a hacker, I guess. He's always been like with the mechanics and computers. Hacks all these robots that the governor had to fight against him. So,
which is J. Jonah Jameson, the mayor, right?
Yeah. So as they gave Green Goblin gave Otto a choice. They took his very short loving girlfriend.
Oh yeah. Well, they blew up everything in the prior issue, and they kidnapped his midget girlfriend.
That's little person. And Otto leaves. The Green Goblin says, "If you leave right now, if you have to leave 2099 to fight for himself."
Oh, that's fucked up though, dude. So now, and he's like, he 2099 Spider-Man says, "Don't listen to them. If we stick together, we can fucking." And he's like, looks back at the motherfucker.
He's already gone.
Fucking Superior Spider-Man, dude.
He's already gone. So Otto leaves him to fight for himself. As he takes off to find his love, Otto finally realizes he has failed in protecting his city.
Mm-hmm. And everything's just beat up. All the spider bots now are just attacking. And they're in charge by Green Goblin, so they're just on a tear all over the city.
Fuck,
dude.
Even to make things worse, the Avengers find his illegal medical
clinic.
Yeah. And they are on their way to arrest him once all this shit blows over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we have Peter fighting in Doc's mind, trying to take it back, his memories from Otto. He gives up the upper hand in saving a child appearing to Otto that he is still in his head. So there's an incident in here where, what do we got here?
Hold on, I will just... Don't go too far because it's written nicely, dude.
All right. Oh yeah, there's
an instance where he's finally after one of the goblins comes out, and now they're just trying to come up with some elaborate fucking plan to get him in the sewers, and
oh yes,
they want to kill Superior. So he goes in, and a little kid is fucking chained up in a subway. And
he has a choice. He has, I'm going to take, save the kid, or I go save the my girlfriend. And this panel...
And he pussies out. And
well, he pussies out, and Parker takes over.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
like,
cool.
Jump. And I love that interaction, dude.
So he jumps, saves the kid, and right then, Otto is talking to Peter in his mind. You know, we're going to fucking deal with this shit. You know, this isn't over.
I like what he tells him, too, dude. So it's Peter Parker talking to Superior Spider-Man. "You screwed up, Otto. When there's time, you weigh options. When there's not, you act. And you always do the right thing. It means giving up the advantage like I just did. You know I'm here now, and I know what that means. Round two. We'll bring it. I'm ready this time. So it's just, again, like I said, Peter Parker trying to get his fucking...
Getting his bearings.
Body back. Yeah, go for it, man.
So what else we got here? Gives up the other hand. Not sure I like how Otto is giving praise to Peter during this whole... When he's going to go save his girlfriend. You know, he's saying that, you know, I'm a dumb shit. You know, Peter Parker is the man.
Yeah.
I'm an ignorant, yes. But it's because I know underneath it that I'm not the best. I'm flawed. So I overcompensate. So you see a lot of weakness in Otto in this comic book.
Well, I like it because you might say it's weakness, but like I like the fact that he's finally to terms with like, okay, I'm still a fucking bad person and I need to give Spider-Man back his body. That he's willing to kill his thoughts, his emotions, everything, so Peter Parker can get back in there.
I don't know, man.
I miss Peter, but not right now, dude. But again, it's just written so nicely. The fucking panels on that fucking...
Yeah, dude.
The pages are fucking nice. Peter Parker is with a little chubby fucking Otto Octavius. He's like, your childhood, yes, it's vanishing. You must have no distractions, no confusion. I'm expunging all my memories, one after the other. My life as a villain must be erased, along with my heroic deeds. And I finally, what have I held on to so passionately, but might go as well. And go for it, man. And even he sees Anna Maria, and he's like, my Anna Maria. He's like, and Peter Parker asks, you really love her? Yes. And to save her, I must give up every part of that love. Go for it, man.
Yeah, so
for now,
he gives it everything up, man.
For I know only you can save her. Because you are the superior Spider-Man.
That's kind of...
it's just... It kind of gave me chills, man. Because... I don't know, man. I liked it, dude.
All right. So we got...
You're fit.
The next go page, it, we have Otto crying. Yeah. And it looks... there's no words in this whole page. It looks like Peter Parker took over. Mm. He takes off the helmet. He goes to his locker room. He pulls out the old school blue and red suit.
And I love his fucking Superior Spider-Man outfit, though, dude. And he's just got the gadgets. He's got the backpack spider.
Yeah.
It was a little Dr. Octavius, but of course. I mean, it was Dr. Octopus. But yeah, you're right. That he puts on his classic Spider-Man. Classic
Spider-Man. And my turn and to be concluded.
Fuck, man.
So it's been a good 30 issues.
30. We've got one more issue left. I love Dan Slott. He's going to do the relaunch of the Amazing Spider-Man is what it is.
Whatever.
But yeah, dude. I mean, I'm going to miss fucking Superior. So, all right. I guess I'll go next. Mike, if you want to jump in with me on this one, dude, feel free to chime in.
Okay.
I loved this one, guys. It's an Image title. It's $3.50. It's Deadly Class. The writer for this I love is Mike Remender. And where the fuck did I go? I am fucking lost. And the artist is going to be Wes Craig. I love this guy. So I have gone over number one. Issue number one was the kid who lost his family in San Francisco. He's a bum. Some motherfuckers are after him. He gets tossed into... a deadly arts school. So loved issue number one completely. Issue number two fell off for me because they showed the school. It was like a fucking, I don't know. I guess different factions in school and the cool crowd and everything. So each like kind of seemed like a prison, I guess, because you know they have that gang mentality and also like different nationalities, races that they stick together. So that school, the whole thing, I really didn't dig. But I guess the school is like a prison too. For them. This one starts off November 4th. Given what we're about to do, I should feel like a terrible person, but I don't. Morality is just comfort food. It holds me, notes, no meaning outside our minds, like the Mona Lisa, a thing a lot of people imagine value in. So it's pretty much the kids. There's two kids now, the main character we have, and he's with the brother. Okay. Fucking straight up fucking from the school. So they're literally running across fucking rooftops. And it was for a bet, dude. He's like, no one is ever going to fuck with me again. And they just show them jumping through the fucking sky, literally building for building. And he's like, told Willie I'd jump this before. He called bullshit. Bet me $2. Money's mine. with a foot to spare. So the kid, though, doesn't make it. So they're literally jumping, dude. And the kid, like, is literally holding on to by his fingertips, like, fucking, he's about to fall. Shit, help. Oh, fuck. He's just freaking balls. We all would be freaking balls. You should jump this half expecting to fall. Most times I nearly did. That left that part out. He's like, I got you. I'm slip meeting. Hold on. Pull. I'm trying. Fuck. Don't let me die. I can't. I can't do it. Don't even consider he might not make it, dude. So just fucking, he's trying to hustle getting this kid up. So he's like too busy showing him how cool I am, how fearless. God, you gotta hold, got a foothold, so he'd respect me. No, so he'd like me. So hanging out, and it's kind of cool because it goes into like, and he's like, I want my $2. So it's just kids like always searching for acceptance with people. And, you know, especially a new school, anything, you don't know how to work the crowd and you don't know who you're going to fit in with. So, yeah, just very cool. So he saves his fucking life, dude. And he tells homeboy that, you know, his thing with people, he's bad with interacting with people. He's a weirdo. He's a loner. He's like, just lovely fucking play that they have, dude. He's like, it's me, my anxiety. I do this thing after I'm around people where I obsessively overanalyze every interaction to see where I went wrong or who I offended. Emotional paranoia. My therapist in the home called it. Agonizing over everything I say, every choice I make. He's like, damn, you're for reals? And it's just cool the interaction they have, dude. He's like, no, in my mind, it's everyone else that's crazy. All polite human interaction is all just manipulation, a way for people to get what they want from each other. That why you want to be my friend? Get something. It's a tribal instinct for protection. Without friends, I'm all alone and with a lower chance of survival. I mean, civility is just lying to people about your true feelings, hiding for personal gain. And homeboy gets pissed off. He's like, you're just using me, so you're just being civil to be my friend?
Well, I like how he's fucking pissed off after he just saved his fucking life, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So very cool in, like...
It's like, really?
And the homeboy says, fuck you. You don't know shit. I've kept fucking homies back in the day. And they go into his fucking story, dude.
Homeboys go.
Yeah, dude. So it's just very cool, dude. And then the kids, I liked it, dude. The kids listen to the fucking Smiths. Hey, what are you listening to? The Smiths. Ah, oh, man, that depressing shit. Sort of gay, isn't it? If by gay you mean brave and honest, whining over a guitar ain't brave. I don't know, it's hard to express honest emotions and to be fearless about sadness. And he's just like...
Fucking put on some Dr. Dre? Or
yeah,
what?
Pretty much. Okay. He even mentions that. They talk about fucking Run DMC and shit like that, dude. So now these kids are on... It looks like the fucking bus. They go on a bus. They were given a fucking hit, dude. So their first mission is... We're going to give you someone to fucking cap, kill, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like the initiation to the school, the deadly class. So they go to, the kid was a bum, so he goes to somebody he knows, Marcus, how you been, man? Been better. You come for some lewds? I got a shitload. Not really, but fuck it, sure, why not? He's from the streets, so, you know, he wants to find out where the person is that they're supposed to kill. Homeboy bum tells him where it's at. They go after the dude. He's in a small fucking tent in some fucking alleyway. And again, Mike, I love the art in this, dude. What's Craig's fucking... It just, I love it. The colors, the paneling. I dig, man.
I agree. It definitely has the feel for this book. Mm-hmm. He's a really good choice for this. The colors, too, you mm-hmm. know, when different situations.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So totally love this one, dude. When the old man comes out of his fucking tent, from the first issue, it was the guy he gave his sneakers to, the fucking bum that was trying to steal him.
Oh, shit. Ended up,
yeah.
It's fucked. I read the first one. I don't know. Yeah.
So fucking, he's just remembering everything, and the old man has a knife. He's about to fucking kill him. And then they show homie fucking Mr. Hardcore, who fucking has a gun, pussies the fuck out. And he doesn't fucking shoot him. The homeboy gets it. What the fuck? You let him go?
Wait, who ran the fucking dreadlocks?
The bun. The bum. The bum. Yeah.
The bum? Oh, okay.
So he gets away. Dreadlock kid just fucking froze up. He throws a gun down. Fucking, it's just nice panel play. He throws the gun down. It goes off. Almost fucking blast fucking homeboy. He's like, dude, where are you going? We're not done. We have to kill that guy. I know. Fuck it. And he's just the homeboy brother. And then he tells him, I'm out. I can't do this, man. I'm no killer. And he's like, what about all that shit you said about street cred with your, you know, with yeah. your pops? And it so happens that some thugs had came into the house when he was a kid, and it was his uncle that capped the guys that broke into the house.
It wasn't him?
No, he has nothing to do with it. He's like, my uncle gave me the gun to make it look, when he was literally like 5 years old, you know, to make it look like he was hard shit. Which
or to get away from the cops.
Which we find out he wasn't. Yeah, right? Oh, yeah. So, it's just weird. There's some weirdo fucking weird-looking fucker in the alleyway, dude. So, we don't know who this cat is. They go back to fucking the bum that told them where, you know, the homeboy was. The other bum. And he's like, you fancy fucks want some chili beans? Piping hot from the ass of Jesus. So, they're chilling, dude, and it's just really weird, like, he was an old military veteran, and he's, you know, telling them, like, you know, that shit don't ever leave you. So, old military cat bum, fucking homeboy, our protagonist, I guess, right? He's like, I gotta take a piss. He goes, and it's just a homeboy talking to this bum now. Hell, and, you know, and this Marcus is our antagonist, actually. He's like, hell, face like Marcus, maybe I could have done something. But I sure ain't no pretty boy like you, pretty boy. And this is an interesting panel and just an interesting story. Now, the bum is telling him that, like, you know, Marcus is a pretty boy. But as the kid's hearing it, as Marcus is hearing it, taking a piss, he gets to this flashback. And he remembers, now I don't know if it was fucking homeboy who fucking maybe molested him, Mike, perhaps.
It could be that. In the panel, it kind of looks like there's breasts. So I was maybe thinking it was his mother, or could have been somebody else that molested him for sure.
Yeah. So it would make sense to know why he's a weirdo kid. I mean, that's gotta fuck with anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. So very cool that they go through that. And then homeboy's still talking to this bum. And out of the darkness, fucking Marcus fucking beats homeboy with a lead fucking pipe. And this was his quote-unquote friend. And he's like, shit, oh shit, homeboy says this. We got nowhere else to go. And as the panel zooms out, each panel for panel, I don't know, man. It's just, I love the colors on it. Mm-hmm. I love that ink splash page at the end, dude. It's just fucking gorgeous. I'm a big pencil guy. I love inks. But I like it. Again, number two kind of bored me with the whole school thing. But this one totally turned around for me, Mike. Anything else you want to add or how are you digging on this one so far?
I agree. Two was where I decided that I wasn't going to read it anymore in the shop.
Yeah, I almost jumped off. Yeah, go ahead.
I got it again, thankfully. I get to read it free, thankfully.
Nice, nice. How do you get this going?
It's very lucky I help.
Dope.
On another website.
There you go, man. Right on, right on.
So it's cool. So I get to read it because it was good. This issue was really good. It turned me back around for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it, like you said, the school was kind of boring, but this right here, they were on a homework assignment.
Yeah.
That's what they called it. That's what they called it instead of missions because they're in school. So there's that. But then there's one panel that really stood out for me, I think, was when the bum that gave him the beans, they were talking. They showed a picture of the bum when he was in Vietnam.
Yes, yes.
So it's like four kids. You know, they were kids that the government, you know, took to school basically to teach how to be killers, kind of what like is going on with Marcus
and
his friend now. You know, it's just a different type of, not a government-funded school.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know, something about that panel just brought that out. It was a nice little play.
Yeah.
You know, they were kids and they were killers, and these kids are training to be killers.
Exactly. Nice, nicely put, man.
But it was just a good book. But when he came out from taking his piss and bashed him in the head, man, I was like, whoa. Yeah. I mean, I didn't expect him to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's like, we got nowhere else to go. We got to do this damn homework assignment or, you know, we're going to be back on the streets and end up like this fucking guy.
Yeah, touche, man. I loved it. I'm on board anyways. I'm so glad it picked up compared to number two. I loved number one. Number two was the weaker of the bunch, and this one just fucking, I loved the panel, the interaction they had together, Marcus and homeboy. So I thought it was nicely done, dude. So, very cool. All right, I'm on board. Adam, rock and roll, man. What do you want to take?
Let's see. We're going to do Guardians.
Oh, fuck me.
You want to do Guardians?
Let's do Guardians, dude. Oh, my gosh. One of the books of the year candidate, I think, dude.
It was,
A lot of shit went down, dude. Now, whoever's not... I know Albert asked the other day, like, why is everyone so hard for fucking Guardians of the Galaxy? Because it's written this fucking lovely, Albert. You gotta jump on board, dude. But go for it, man. So we have,
We have the end of the trial.
The trial of Jean Grey. Now, it was 6 issues long. It first time Guardians of the Galaxy and X-Men have crossed over ever. Mm-hmm. Now, very cool. The Shi'ar Empire comes after Jean Grey. They take her, put on trial, of course. And Guardians of the Galaxy get to the X-Mansion. And they fucking take the remaining X-Men to fucking the Shi'ar Empire to fucking go after Jean Grey. She escapes and...
Yeah, it seems Gladiator has a real hard-on to... I mean, he seems like the only one... Mm-hmm. That really wants to punish her.
Yeah, now, okay, she killed as Phoenix. She, Dark Phoenix, she killed an entire fucking planet.
Yeah, I mean...
Now, so that's okay. Why he wants to put her on trial for
it.
Now,
but it seems like he has like a... Like a... Like, everybody knows she's done this already.
This is true.
He seems like he has like... This is really personal to him.
It is, it does.
And I don't know, he just seems like has a real hard-on... And they're like, well, the thing is, she hasn't even fucking done this yet.
This is true, but she has the potential.
Potential. And so. This motherfucker, we find out. Mm-hmm. You want to go that far?
Yeah, no, we'll go through it. So okay. This one's going to be, she's like, I would forgive you everything you've done to me today. Because I did need to see the Phoenix. I did know. Need to know this, except your people went and killed my family. You ended my bloodline just in case. That I'm not having. So she was ready to say, like, okay, I could have walked away, but you killed my fucking bloodline. Yeah,
Gladiator killed her whole fucking family. Brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, everyone, just in case the Phoenix wants to take them.
And she starts blasting, dude. And it's cool because it's Guardians and X-Men versus the Shi'ar.
What is this form?
It's a new, I don't know.
It's not the Phoenix. She turns into a reddish monster. Not a monster, but a...
And I can't say the Phoenix. I guess more telepathic based, but...
Like pure telepathic.
It kind of looks like it. Yeah.
It just starts fucking people up.
Yeah, so it's literally fucking Team X-Men Guardians of the Galaxy versus fucking Shi'ar. And there's nice little panel plays, dude. You see the interaction between Groot and fucking Rocket always, you know.
Always back-to-back, those guys, the homies.
Yeah.
I do like how Jean takes Gladiator on one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Like, fucks him up. Gladiator is a bad motherfucker, dude. He's pretty powerful, and she holds her own. There's another telepathic, right?
Yes, this is Oracle. I'm glad you brought this one up, dude, because Jean Grey is on a fucking tear. What do you know? You are demonstrating immense new psychic powers. She's like, get out of my mind, Oracle. She's like, it's psionic energy. I think taking everyone's psychic energy and sending it back out at them. She's like, yes. And now you're something else. She's like, no, I'm Jean Grey, the last of my kind. It's your telepathy and telekinesis working together. I didn't know you could do that. Mm-hmm. So...
Well, look at the last... I mean, she's learning new powers.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the last panel of her and Gladiator clashing together.
Yeah, nicely done, dude.
And...
they kind of take each other out and fucking...
Which is good. Good form. She's not overpowering him. He's not overpowering
exactly,
her.
Exactly, yeah.
Kind of an even... I'm even curious if when these fuckers actually go back with all this new power.
This is what's awesome about this fucking comic, because there's a lot of what the fucks that happened, dude. So we have, and the Starjammers were actually helping them out too.
Oh yeah.
Okay, now, very cool, dude. It's just, fucking cool. So Oracle tells fucking Gladiator the fight is over, and he's like, he gets pissed off. He's like, no, it's like. The fight is over. Like, Oracle like tells him, like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. Now, this is very dope, dude. And Jean Grey says, Gladiator. And, just, again, since it's a Guardians of the Galaxy book, Peter Quill ends up fucking helping out fucking Phoenix, Jean Grey. And he's like, hi, I'm Peter Quill. I know exactly who you are. All you Guardians, you came all the way here to get me. I love you guys.
Everyone's Gladiator. Trying to bang Jean Grey. Every fucking character but this is cool, trying to bang her.
Yeah, dude, and then this is very cool. I love this. Just that panel with all the fucking teams together, dude. They came to bring it, and I would have liked more fights, but it was still pretty cool. And then young Cyclops says this, dude. I love it. No, you know what? It's mine, and we're leaving. If you, if any of you come back for Gene, if you come anywhere near the planet Earth again, ever again, I'll kill you.
But it's like really fucking young Cyclops. You're barely in puberty.
Well, I love
it. And you're telling that to Gladiator and the whole fucking Shi'ara?
This is very true, though. But I love it because when he's saying it, he's like, we brought this much fight right to you in one day. I'm telling you, stay the fuck away from Earth. And in the background, it's Peter Quill, like, and even his pops from the Starjammers, like, they feel good, like, wow, yeah, this kid's ballsy.
He's in Gladiator's face right there in that panel. Mm. That's pretty ballsy.
And they're about to take off, so Gladiator finally decides with the fucking Shi'ara, they're about to take off, and Rocket. he's ready to blast them,
He's
dude.
Ready to blast them.
Gamora says, Rocket, no. He's like, what? We won this day, it is time to go. So just, the Guardians are a great fucking team, dude. Now, you can go into these ones. I love the interactions right here, dude. Very cool. They're all back on the ship now, dude.
Everyone's in their little corners, just doing conversation.
Yeah.
Talking
yeah.
to each other. I like it.
Yeah, so they're shooting the ship for the most part, dude. And
Angela didn't do that much shit in this
She time. Didn't really, dude. But it's interesting, dude. Because it's just interesting, dude. Because we don't know what's going to happen. Like, Angela is dogging fucking Jean Grey.
Oh, yeah, dude.
We still need to know.
She's all like, bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, dude. So, very cool, man. Just the interaction that fucking Rocket Raccoon has when he sees that other raccoon out on the fucking, on the ground was funny, dude.
So Jean Grey says, guys.
I know, right? He's like, I'll never be able to thank you all. You said that already numerous times. Drax says that. You owe us all a blood debt, is what Angela says. She's like, a blood debt, like I owe you actual blood. How about a homemade cook, fucking Iceman, how about a home-cooked dinner? Or maybe some KFC. And then Gamora tells him, I told you to stop trying to charm me, young boy. I wasn't even trying, I'm just me. I can't help it. Just love the way Cyclops is written. So Peter Quill, listen, Peter Quill, I will never be able to thank you. And this is Kitty Pryde talking to Peter now.
Star-Lord.
Yeah, Star-Lord. Never be able to thank you enough for what you did for us. She's like, I can't imagine what it could be, but if you ever need anything from us, all you need to do is ask. Seriously. He's like, take this. You can get a hold of me, hold of us with this. She thinks it's like a fucking, just a, something, you know, every now and then. He tells her, you can actually contact me anytime you want. Which is like, fucking, yeah, dude, Peter Quill is a fucking little maniac, dude. She gives him a kiss on the cheek, so that's one interesting interaction. Again, they've never interacted before, Guardians and X-Men. So
so we got Cyclops
announcing to everyone. He's like, hey, guys, this is a little hard to say, so I guess I'll just come out and say it. You all know what 2 days ago I thought my dad was dead. I thought I was an orphan, and well, I love you guys, and it's been all crazy, all of this, but I'm going to go with my dad. Now, I like it because anybody... You think you're an orphan, you know, it's young Cyclops still, so he wants to go with his dad. Anybody would to have that chance again would take it. So very cool that he's leaving.
Very cool.
And even the X-Men are freaking out, like, how long you're just going to leave us? And Professor Kitty Pryde says, I don't think I'm going to allow this. She's like, Professor, it's my dad. I know this isn't what we thought would happen, but so far nothing is what we thought would happen. So... And then he talks to Jean Grey. I love this interaction. You and I, we get married, we have kids. All the good and terrible things that are supposed to happen to us is in our lives. And we both know we don't live happily together. Maybe this way, we will finally get to be happy. So just nice. It's like, I love you guys. Stay safe. Peace out. And X-23 is the one that was fucking falling for him. And she's bummed to see him go. And... everyone fucking walks back their own ways, or, you know, take off their own ways, and Jean Grey is left alone, and she drops to her knees, and she's crying, it looks like, dude.
She's crying out.
Just nicely done. So, I mean, yeah, she knows, I don't know, interesting, because she's a little whore, dude. She's
Jean Grey. She's okay. She can be a whore. That's okay.
Yeah, so I think she's finally going to miss him. But yeah, very cool. So that was one of my books of the week. I loved the interaction between all the characters, and just the writing was way cool. But yes, dude, Michael Brian Bendis writes this one. Sarah Pacelli and David Marquez do the art. It's a consistent book all the way through. If you guys aren't reading Guardians of the Galaxy, I love it. How are you digging?
It's a great book.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, is there anything else you want to test out, homie?
Just by listening to what you guys were just saying about Guardians. I don't really want to read it, but I just picked up on, you said X-23 was crushing on Cyclops.
Young Cyclops, yeah, yeah.
It just popped into my head about, you know, Wolverine and Jean Grey and their whole sexual tension thing.
Yep, yep.
And they had X-23 and Cyclops, you know. Yeah, I don't want to read it. I've read Guardians in the past, and I do like the characters. I just don't really like it when they movie-eyes. That's not even a word, but when they movie-eyes comic books, I tend to stay away from them. I get, and like Adam said, I guess I was just sitting here thinking while you guys were talking as well that I really don't read a lot of superhero comics. Now that I say it. I mean, Moon Knight is not your typical superhero, and Ghost Rider, Harley Quinn, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'll try.
And Adventure Time, right?
Yeah, Adventure Time and Regular Show. I love.
Cool. Right on, man. All right, dude. I believe that show, Mike. Do you have anything to plug? You said you're helping out a website or something. Anything you want to plug? Your Twitter, drop your Twitter handle for our listeners, and anything else you got to plug, man? Rock it up.
So at Lapine is me. Just look on Joe and Adam, and you'll see me talking there all the time. It's hard to pronounce, so you can't really say it that well. And Comics Bulletin. It's a different kind of comics site. I mean, there's reviews and things like that, but they do things a little bit differently. Do a lot of smaller press books.
Oh, awesome, dude. Okay, I'm going to have you jump on board. All right, good looking out, Mike. You guys can find this, listeners, my boy, Adam.
Ma'am the Beaner.
I'm at the number 4, The Villain Guy. Subscribe to us in iTunes, Stitcher, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. And, guys, the Geeky Awards left us that fucking message, so... you guys are helping us out, so thank you for retweeting those guys. Continue to retweet us, and hopefully we'll see what happens, I guess.
Tweet them to give us free tickets.
Yeah, guys, fucking hit them fucking up, guys. If you guys want that link again, hit me up, and I will shoot that link to you guys. But, yeah, thanks for listening. We totally appreciate Mikey. Mikey, thanks for having us on. Thanks for having us on, Mike.
No problem.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, you've been awesome, man. All right, we'll touch base with you soon, homie. We should have this up in like 10 to 15 minutes or so.
About 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to this shit.
Yeah,
hey,
I don't listen to this shit, dude.
It's all good.
But I'll talk to you on Twitter.
Yes, most definitely, homie. All right, have yourself a good night. Be safe, man. Thanks for jumping on the show.
All right, guys.
We're Comic Syndicate. Peace out.